Today's gospel contains a response of the disciples to Jesus' third and final prediction of his passion and death. And again, they misunderstand what that means, as they are preoccupied with power, honor, and glory. Mankind, by its very nature, has a predisposition towards pride and self-promotion. The attributes associated with pride are revealed at a very early age. Children don't have to be taught to be selfish. This characteristic is within their nature. An infant cries when wet, hungry, or craves to be held and comforted. In and of itself, that is not pride. But left unchecked, these morph into selfish desires that are answered with just a whimper. Then these selfish desires continue to manifest themselves as we mature, often in unhealthy ways. Many of the problems within the world today and most conflicts from the past result from pride and the desire to possess power, prominence, and prestige. Even Jesus' own disciples were prone to pride. That's where we are in Mark's gospel. James and John, who are brothers, asked Jesus to sit at his right and left hands when Jesus comes into his glory. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, records this exchange a little differently. Matthew reveals that the mother of James and John was the sister of Jesus' mother, Mary, and therefore the aunt of Jesus, thus making the three men cousins. The brothers and their mother assume their family relationship with Jesus had earned them a position above the other disciples, and therefore their request would be granted. This appeal was especially troubling due to the timing involved. Jesus had just spoken of his coming betrayal, arrest, suffering, and death. They seemed to be unmoved by the horror that awaited Jesus, and it appears they wanted to secure their position before it was too late. Somewhat like family members who want to divide a deceased loved one's possessions before the funeral arrangements have been made. This is pride. It has no conscience, seeking only its own promotion and well-being. Then the other 10 disciples heard of the request, and they were very indignant at the conceited request of James and John. Saddened and angry toward the brothers, they too elicited arrogance. Who do they think they are? What makes them think they deserve such a position more than we do? We have served the Lord just like they have. When a spirit of competition and jealousy enters a relationship, there is always fallout and retaliation. A desire to get ahead leads to others being left behind. Selfishness always results in dissension. When we think only of ourselves, community breaks down and unity is replaced with division and backbiting. Pride takes many forms, and we must guard against each one. This was not the first time Jesus had this conversation with the disciples. While they were in Capernaum, They disputed who would be the greatest. There, Jesus declared the pathway to greatness in the kingdom came through service to others. In God's economy, the way up is down. One must assume a position of humility and service to gain position in the kingdom. When we study the scriptures, one can only be surprised by the humility and servitude of Jesus. He was God, robed in flesh, sovereign of the universe, and yet he came not to be served, but to serve others. We find him showing compassion for countless people and multitudes, touching those who stood in need of healing, providing for the needs of the less fortunate, and even humbling himself as he assumed the position of a slave while washing the feet of the disciples. Jesus truly modeled serving others and expected not only the disciples, but also you and me to follow his example. We will never become all the Lord desires and expects of us apart from service. We are not called to promote our agendas or seek others to serve us. However, we are called to humble ourselves in service to mankind. We are never more like our Lord than when we show his great love through acts of service to others. Service is not intended to be a burden. Through love, it can be a great joy. My brothers and sisters, Jesus identified greatness with sacrifice, not with being a master who gives orders. You and I are always to be Christians for others, whatever our circumstances, wherever we are. True honor comes not from the glory of the world, but from sharing our human dignity with those to whom it is too often denied. Real wealth is never measured as much by how much we have as by what we are willing to share with those in need. True sacrifice arises not from the realization of what we can do without, but from the honest recognition of the needs of others. And ultimately, by being Christians for others and not for ourselves, we are being missionaries, something that today's World Mission Sunday reminds us. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce Deborah Holderman, who will take a few minutes to speak to us further this Mission Sunday. Please welcome her.
Good afternoon. My name is Debbie Holderman, and I am a parishioner at Holy Family Church in Orlando, and I was invited here today to share with you my experience in a recent visit that I had to our sister diocese in the Dominican Republic. First, I want to thank Father Bob and Deacon Vincent for allowing me to come here to talk to you about our annual collection that will take place today and this weekend, which funds all the projects and all the programs that our diocese sponsors at our sister diocese. So in August, I was called to join 13 other missionaries in a construction mission trip to the mountains region of the Dominican Republic, known as Las Lomas. And I have to tell you, it started out a little bit rocky. Our 7 p.m. flight was delayed until 3:30 in the morning. When we landed in Santo Domingo, We were quickly hustled through customs. We got our last hot shower with running water, and we were shuttled to the foot of the mountains of the region that we would work in. And we were quickly loaded into a dump truck, the back of a dump truck, not the covered part, with our suitcases. And we started our journey through a very treacherous and interesting mountain range. And within 5 minutes of that travel, thunder started, lightning started, the skies opened up, and it poured on us. By that point, I was so exhausted and so weak, mentally, physically, and even spiritually, that I just dropped my head and I just prayed and I said, "Father, what have you led me to?" And when I had the strength to lift my head and to look up into that beautiful mountain range, God had answered me with two brilliant rainbows that stretched across the mountain region that we were traveling into to do our work. That was the first sign of the beauty and the love that we would experience that week. That next day, I had my first encounter with the people of Las Lomas in a very little village called La Cueva. And La Cueva is the smallest village of all the villages up in the mountain region in our sister diocese. And truly, it is a forgotten village, and they are forgotten people. It is literally at the end of the road. There is nothing beyond it. It's populated with maybe 35 to 40 people. And these people have nothing. We were lucky enough to travel with Father Fred. Father had served in our sister diocese for 8 years before his retirement. And Father invited us to go with him to La Cueva to celebrate Mass Sunday morning before we started to work. But he warned us before we went about the really difficult condition that these people lived under. No electricity, no water, no stores. They lived in tin shacks with dirt floors, maybe 5x5, 5x10 at the most. You would think, at least I thought, that these conditions would really harden these people. As we drove up to the little chapel where we were going to celebrate Mass, we were greeted by this entire town as if we were long-lost relatives. And as all of these people came towards us, this little 3-year-old girl picked me out. And I don't know why, but I thank God every day that she did. Her name is Kelsey. And Kelsey walked up to me and she studied me, and you could tell she was smart. And she studied me for a couple moments, and then she lifted her hand up to me. I grabbed her hand and I knelt down and I looked into her beautiful eyes where I saw nothing but God's love. And at that moment, when I swooped her up, she swooped my heart and she took my heart. And together we went into the chapel and we celebrated Mass with all of her village family. And what I saw coming through these people, through their song and their celebration, was God's glory and their gratitude, because they knew why we were there. They knew that our mission was to bring them the basic necessities needed to survive. Those people who had nothing had given us so much that day. They filled us with God's strength. They filled us with God's love and wisdom so that we could work that week endlessly to help with construction that they'd so desperately needed. Our mission takes on many, many different faces with our sister diocese. There's the education project. The education project supports 3 Catholic elementary schools and 1 Catholic middle school up in the mountain region. These schools educate 429 students that walk from all the villages, some walking for up to an hour to these schools. But they go back every day, and the reason they do is because the high level of the education that these children get there. In addition to that, they also receive 2 quality hot meals and 2 snacks every day. And for many of these children, that's the only meal that they receive. There's also a high school program at the base of the mountain where we now educate 50 high school students that live in dorms there. And I'm happy to say that 11 Dominican students have earned scholarships to continue their high school education here in our diocese at our Catholic schools like Bishop Moore. Three of those students at the end of the last school year graduated summa cum laude, and they earned full scholarships to go into universities here in the United States. And at the end of this school year, we will have our first graduate from the University of Central Florida who will graduate with his degree in civil engineering. And what Ramon will do upon graduation is he will go back to his people, back to his village of La Cocorita, and he will help to build roads and bridges and improve the infrastructure there. None of this could be done without the foundation of this education program. The construction mission takes skilled and very unskilled people like myself, and we work alongside of local people in the villages to teach them the skills so that when we leave, they can continue to build schools, homes, and a very critical aqueduct system that has now run water to the first village of this mountain region, La Matosa. And in La Matosa, the first day that this water was running, imagine this, a gentleman from the village took his first shower at 75 years old. A young boy who was so excited about the concept of running water took three showers before noontime that first day. So you can imagine that they are so grateful and that we are so lucky that God allows us to do his work for these people. There's a medical mission and dental missions that go over every year. And imagine the look of a young boy and his family and their faces and the tears of joy after corrective surgery on his feet. And he is told that he can now walk and eventually will be able to run. It wouldn't be there without the support that our diocese gives us every year. This is God's work. This is what God has sent us to do. So I ask you all today to take Kelsey's hand the way that I took it that day. And please support us so that we continue our mission work in our sister diocese. I'll be in the back of the church after Mass. I've placed our newsletter at the exit of the church. And also, you'll see our envelopes that if you would be so gracious as to give us some donation. But I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your generosity, and God bless you.
I'd like to thank you, Debbie. And just to make a comment, probably one of the greatest blessings that this diocese has is that Sister Diocese of the Dominican Republic has given the people of the Diocese of Orlando an opportunity not only for their charity to give the financial contributions, but also to go there to see and work with the people and to help them to become to build villages, to build schools, to build hospitals, I mean, to all kinds of stuff. Our diocese has done that for the people in San Juan. So it has been a real blessing for all of us.